For those of you, for those who've joined a little later, first of all, can you tell us where you are and what time of the day it is?
We are in Delhi, India. Now it's around 4:30 p.m.
3:30.
3:30, not 4.
3:30.
3:30, sorry, 3:30 p.m.
And I know Chris asked this earlier. Tell us about the weather where you are at the moment and how things are.
Yeah, summer is just starting. Daytime we have around 37 degrees centigrade to 48. Night is still pleasant, like just. So it's not very, very hot right now. We're expecting by next month the heat to really pick up again.
All right, okay. So you're involved in a leprosy mission hospital, is that correct?
Yes.
Tell us a bit about the work that you do.
Both of us have been working for the last 18, 19 years in the leprosy mission. And I take care of the hospital and the health programs, and Joydeepa takes care of the training and the research. So in the hospital, we have 14 hospitals right now in the Leprosy Mission Trust India. So we have a regular everyday OPD, outpatient department, then we have inpatient and also the surgery. So most of our service are for people affected by leprosy, coming for leprosy care and medical conditions and surgeries. And they do also have other medical problems, surgical problems. So we also try to address those. So we try to run a multi-specialty hospitals wherever we are. We do have challenges because of the situation and location of our hospitals. And then people working in mission hospitals, we don't pay them as much as people who, work in a bigger hospital. So those are some challenges we do have.
So do you have problems recruiting staff because of that, and keeping staff because of that?
Yeah, we do have, especially medical doctors, we do have. I think if you think 15, 20 years ago, it was a little easier. But now the challenge is much more because economy has improved a bit in our country compared to many years before. So people expectation is high, but the hospitals that we run are more on charity because people, even churches like you support us. So people affected by leprosy, we give them almost a free service, or if they contribute a small amount. So most of your revenue doesn't come much from the patient. So it's difficult to pay a high salary to the expected salary to people. So it's a definitely a challenge to get committed people who work, who are willing to work.
Because we live in a privilege where we have a National Health Service, you can just rock up to a doctor or a hospital and be treated. Tell us a bit about how treatment is funded in India.
India treatment is funded by public health funding is there, but it's a very small ratio actually. If you see, I think majority of the health services provided the private players in India. So yeah, and they are quite expensive compared to the government, the public hospitals, like the government hospitals. And the government hospital is overcrowded actually. They cannot cater to the huge population of our nation. So we have one side the government hospital, the public hospital, who have a huge load, who don't have enough infrastructure. And then we have other side, the private healthcare provider, which are very expensive. But if you see again, our country is, again, almost 50 to 60% of people coming from rural areas, and most of them would be with low socioeconomic status. So that's where the challenge is. And we are like charity hospitals, like us, mission hospitals, somehow are there to fill in the bridge and the gaps that as far as possible.
Okay, thank you. And I'm presuming that for most of the folk that you treat, they would be in that in a lower income
Yeah,
bracket.
people affected by leprosy anyway come from, most of them would be from low socioeconomic status.
Okay. We mentioned briefly before the service started the situation with the coronavirus, with COVID-19. Tell us a bit about how that's affecting you at the moment, both as you know, as a nation, but also how it affects your work.
All right. I will talk about that. In the beginning, when the lockdown started, that was in the month of March and April, it was the beginning of April. It was very sudden and nothing was planned. So most of the patients found it very difficult to come to the hospital because the public transport was not there. The public transport shut down. So most of our hospitals cater to patients who come from far away. And they would travel in the private, the local buses, or some of them even come by trains. Stay overnight, they'll travel and come. So their access to hospitals came down. Hospitals, however, remained open. We never shut our hospitals. The staff went on a 50% rota at times or had shifts. So the work never stopped, but we did face absolute reduction in the number of patients coming. Then there were the issues of getting their medicines, because people affected by leprosy and their complications require that they continue medications so that they don't recur. So that was also a big challenge. And such medicines are not available in local pharmacies. Unlike NHS, we do have pharmacies where people can go and buy medication, but showing a prescription. But that also was not possible for many people. So we did a lot of community work to enable people to buy some medications or send them medicines from. Then we also did something called teleconsultation. So when we took out our charts and records and looked at people who were complicated leprosy, who were having drugs for diabetes and hypertension, and who definitely cannot stop. So the hospital staff took turns in calling them up to start trying to find out how they are doing, whether they required medication, whether there were any fears of COVID within them, whether there were any misconceptions, whether they were following the social distancing, which is absolutely not possible in village houses, but whether masks were available. So teleconsultations happened, and many people expressed gratitude because that was the only way they could link up with the hospital. So we gave them our numbers and they called back, and there were people taking those calls and conveying the problems to the doctors, who in turn opened up their files and wrote up. So it was a big exercise on its own, but it did reap a lot of good results. So access was difficult, getting medication was difficult, and sick people became sicker, and by the time they reached hospital, they were in quite a bit of a complicated stage. So these were some of the challenges that we faced.
Did you have to deal with COVID patients yourself as a hospital, or was that, or were they dealt with at other hospitals?
Well, we were not, three hospitals were notified to provide COVID care. Out of that, we got patients only in one hospital, because our hospitals are mostly rural, so we are the last preferred places as far as COVID, because it was more in the urbans. Cases were more in the urban. So one hospital catered to COVID, but the other two, we did not get patients. But we were prepared because the government notified us that they may send patients to us.
And then we also got patients who did have symptoms. They weren't tested, but those who had symptoms, there was a triage area in every hospital. So in, as soon as they came in one area, they were questioned as to the cough and cold and the, you know, the regular symptoms. And if they did, had, they were given kind of a first aid, that take these for fever or paracetamol. And then they were sent to the government hospital for testing. So the triage happened in the hospital, and then they could have been positive people coming, but they tested in the government places.
And so how is the situation with coronavirus now in your area where you are now?
Right now, we are, I think, worse than last year, because the second wave is going on and there is no lockdown. Last year, the lockdown started very early. People were, you know, all in their homes. But if you go now to the market or anywhere, it's, it looks like nothing is happening. So the case is increasing. There's no lockdown, no social distancing. Oh, it's spreading very fast. Yesterday, I think the number was 7,000 in Delhi itself.
Wow.
So, you know, all over India, I think it was around 1,50,000. That would be 150,000 in one day.
Wow, those figures are almost unbelievable.
Yeah.
Not that we disbelieve you, it's just they're fantastic, huge figures. That leads me on to say, what can we, later in the service, we're going to offer prayers for Leprosy Mission, and I would like to include the work you're doing and the situation you find yourselves in. What sort of things can we pray for?
I think what we have mentioned is we really need people who are committed to come and work in our Christian mission hospitals, mm-hmm. and who give their a long-term commitment to be with us. Mm-hmm. That's one of our biggest struggles. And also,
you say long-term commitment. Do people sort of come and then not stay?
Yeah, there will be many, like even the especially the young generation who would come just for a year or two. Then, mm-hmm. then we will go again looking for new doctors and all. So we need people who, and having a long commitment, we also can prepare somebody who take future leadership in the hospitals. Mm-hmm. So when the present leadership retire, then you need somebody who to take over the work. So, and then also we, of course, need you continue to support us. And the funds are definitely, because health cost is also rising up in India. Mm-hmm. To provide, you know, charitable treatment or free treatment, it's a big struggle for all of us, actually.
Mm-hmm. And also, apart from the work that we do in the hospitals, we have other kind of work that is research and training. I'm speaking this because I look after research and training here. So a little bit about the research part is that we do something called basic science research that deals with DNA, RNA, diagnostic uh-huh. tests. Now that, you know, the word PCR has become quite common, uh-huh. everybody knows what a PCR is. So we're trying to develop a PCR testing to detect leprosy early, mm-hmm. So that people don't get disability due to leprosy. So these are certain mm-hmm. things in basic science. Then we also have clinical research, where we do some drug trials, we do some medications that newer medications that are used for treatment and that could be used for treatment. We do research in disability. Leprosy causes anesthesia of the feet, numbness of the feet, and thus they get ulcers. So we do some much work in footwear in leprosy, trying mm-hmm. out different soft materials and the cost and making it available. So these are things. And then we also work on mental health. We mm-hmm. recently published a paper stating that there are about 37 to 40% of people suffer from depression, clinical depression and anxiety among people affected by leprosy and disability. And among them, the risk factors are being a female, being mm-hmm. coming from a low socioeconomic status, and also having a certain kind of disabilities. So mental health is also one of our areas. And then also stigma and discrimination, because leprosy is also a very stigmatized disease. We look at internal stigma of the patients, external mm-hmm. stigma by the community, and we try to get interventions to stop these stigma-related activities. We also do work on resilience and also coping mechanisms, how best people can cope, mm-hmm. and inclusion. Most of the people are excluded from the mainstream in terms of education, jobs. Again, some research on inclusion also. So basically, basic science, clinical and social science, we have three branches of research. Mm-hmm. And training happens to people affected by leprosy, about people affected before government, non-government, NGOs, like-minded. So we give training on how to manage leprosy.
Can I ask you about two things? You've covered an awful lot there. Thank you. Can I just ask you about two things? And it's relating to finance and support. The drug trials, where do you get the support for drug trials from? Because obviously you've got to buy the drugs to trial them. Where do you get the support for that from?
So all the research that we do is written up, proposals are written up and submitted to funding agencies. Mm-hmm. So currently the one that we are going to start from September 2021 is funded by something called Leprosy Research Initiative. It's a coalition of many organizations that pool in to fund. It's a very competitive area. And every year about 80 to 90 proposals are submitted and probably 10 to 12 are get the grant. So we got this last year, but we couldn't do it because of COVID. So we do submit the proposals and we try and get funding.
Okay, and can I ask similarly? You mentioned about trials on footwear, and is the funding on that, is that a similar stream of funding, or is that different?
So we got another grant, which was from the NIHR from the UK and National Institute of Health Research. It was a big grant, and it was with three countries: Nepal, India, and Nigeria, and in partnership with the University of Birmingham. And so this is in a state, and we are doing a lot of activities within that research, and footwear, self-care, ulcer care, management of ulcers, self-help, all this is kind of incorporated into that. It's a four-year grant, and we are in the second year now.
So there's still funding for another 2 years to come. So
yes, and we probably would get one more year of extension, because the COVID took away quite a lot of time. So we are hoping we would get that.
Uh-huh. Okay. Yeah. Thank you. Is there anything else? You've filled us. It's been brilliant to talk to you, and it's been brilliant to hear your experience and all that you're involved in. Is there anything else that I've not touched on that I perhaps should ask?
Yes, I would think that we also do a lot of community projects, which are in the communities, which look at empowerment of communities in terms of livelihood, social inclusion, and education. So these projects would be among people. They would come together as groups of people, and they apply for loans. They are unable to access all the facilities that are given by the government, but unable to access. So we make them aware. We make them to access. We give them learning how to run a business. They do producer companies. They do goat rearing. They do sowing. They do milk, dairy production. So there are a lot of options that they choose for themselves. And then at the end, we see their financial status improving, or women, socioeconomic is improving, women coming up and becoming leaders and taking up leadership, also standing for elections in the panchayati, in the local elections. So these are, so we have about 7-8 projects like that across a few states.
Brilliant. Thank you. I think there's going to be some cross matching, because in a moment, we're going to have a video, which is unfortunately Leprosy Mission are concentrating on Mozambique this year and not India. My apologies for that. I've been using their up-to-date material. But thank you so much. I hope you'll stay with us, because a little bit later in the service, we'll pray. And a little bit after that, we're going to have breakout rooms. And I'm hoping you'll be willing to go into a breakout room and talk to the small group of people you'll meet there. And then afterwards, we tend to hang around for a bit.